Today's episode of the Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Commerce Tools.
Make sure your brand and your business is ready for the trillion-dollar e-commerce market. Commerce Tools, the global leader in commerce and creator of the powerfully composable Mach architecture, can help you achieve bite-sized wins or upsized achievements faster than ever. Whether you are looking to reduce maintenance costs for legacy systems or put the power of AI to work for you quickly, Commerce Tools is your partner for commerce success. Go to commercetools.com to learn how to get started.
It's April 1st, 2024, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. I'm sad to report that this will be our last show ever. Whoops, just kidding. Can't stop, won't stop. Today on our show, UPS announces new initiatives in Analyst Day. Canada Goose announces shakeup. Shein supply chain as a service initiative, a Pearl Harbor moment for retailers. Commerce Tools releases a company update. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, UPS announces new initiatives in the Analyst Day presentation. UPS just presented at an investor analyst day, and I pulled out a few insights from their presentation. First, it's very interesting that the first real slide in the presentation was about the progress on healthcare revenue. Since 2016, the company has gone from $5 billion in healthcare revenue to now $10 billion today, with accelerated investment in the last couple of years. The company claims in the next 3 years, it plans to double its healthcare revenue from $10 billion to $20 billion. This would be a significant jump, as all of UPS revenue last year was $91 billion. Overall, the new plan from Carol Tomei is something they call the 1+2 plan from 2024 through 2026. The company claims that the market demand has reset and UPS is pivoting towards growth. UPS also says that once the Teamsters agreement anniversaries, their cost comparisons will start to look a lot better by comparison also. So what's the 1+2? It's about year one and then years two and three, which seems a little confusing name. Year one, focus on volume and profit dollar growth. Year two and three, focuses on volume and profit margin growth. After a reset in previous years, UPS claims that volume is returning to its core U.S. and international small package markets. In the U.S. small package, UPS is projecting 5.5% growth, while international, they are projecting a lower 3.5% growth. Another point the company made is excess capacity in the system. Before the pandemic, the company was seeing a 6 million average daily parcel volume capacity buffer. During the pandemic, this entirely flipped into a $6 million daily shortfall. Now we have completely flipped in the other direction to a $12 million average daily volume surplus. The elephant in the room question is how much of this average daily volume capacity is a hangover from UPS Teamsters negotiations. Finally, on trends, there are two main trends that I thought would be interesting to call out for the audience. One is a pivot from Asia to US supply chains to Asia to Mexico supply chains with distribution into the US from there. Second is a supply chain diversification trend away from China and into 9 key opportunity countries. The countries on the list look like India, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, Malaysia, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and the UAE. Our second story, Canada Goose announces shakeup. According to Retail Dive, there has been a big shakeup at the Canada Goose brand, the high-end coach you see so many places. Here are the facts that I learned. Canada Goose is cutting its corporate roles by 17%. While the company last year promised to double its brick-and-mortar stores, likely that's being scaled back. The company's COO, John Moran, is departing. And other analysts are also saying that the company's direct-to-consumer strategy needs to be reevaluated. The good news about Canada Goose is that it does have a good product that people seem to like. The bad news looks more like an execution problem than a marketing problem, and execution is one of the easier elements to fix with the right people in place. If I'm reading between the lines, consumers are trading down to cheaper brands, the company is left holding a lot of inventory, and got over its skis on the cost structure side. It's never great when one of your executives has the title Chief Transformation Officer. It signals clouds ahead. Our third story. Shein's Supply Chain as a Service initiative is a Pearl Harbor moment for retailers. It's time to start paying attention more to the disruption happening in fashion as wrought by Shein. Shein made a surprise announcement recently, as told by the WSJ during the week of Shop Talk. Shein is looking to pioneer its small batch manufacturing model to other brands and designers. Here are the details. Shein's executive director, David Tang, called it Supply Chain as a Service. The service would be the manufacturing, technology, and data infrastructure, allowing you to test consumer response to new lines. If you didn't know, Shein's infrastructure includes access to thousands of Chinese factories that churn out tens of thousands of items daily in small batches. All of retail is moving into this Netflixization and this small batch model. The reason this model is so disruptive is because it creates a structural competitive advantage in how much inventory you hold. In retail, but especially fashion, inventory is everything, especially for seasonal or trending items. And if fashion can do it, you know what a wave of startups and VC investment will smell enough blood in the water to move it into other categories too. Even if it seems more difficult outside fashion, the disruption prize is too great to ignore. As the largest brand licensing and operators in the world, ABG and Spark Group are important, and it pays to take notice when they talk. Jamie Salter, whose Spark Group recently took 1/3 investment from Shein, said the following about Shein recently. Shein makes a lot more than $30 billion, which would put it larger than Zara's Inditex. I didn't see Shein and I didn't see Temu. I can't beat them. Their supply chain is too good. And finally, quote, Forever 21 is the biggest mistake I made. To me, these quotes are important context to Shein's supply chain announcement and not unrelated. Amazon's supply chain innovation, on the other hand, was on the distribution side, getting inventory close to consumers and reliably getting it there. Shein's supply chain innovation is on the manufacturing side. In terms of disruptive capability to retail, Shein's innovation is actually much more disruptive and will force all other big players to develop a similar model or die. Amazon, Walmart, Target, everyone. Even if these players would never adopt Shein's actual infrastructure, a response is still needed. Perhaps some kind of investment model in India or other countries might produce a competitor to the approach. It's hard to imagine another country outside of India replicating this. Actually, it's time to sound the alarm, and not just for the fashion industry. And our last story. Commerce Tools releases a company update. When a private company releases public numbers, we must dig in, and there must be comparisons. Commerce Tools recently released a few interesting numbers which lets us to compare them to Shopify, even if they are aimed at very different targets. Why this matters is Commerce Tools, based on public press reports, seems likely to IPO in the next 6 to 24 months, depending on market conditions. They've been hiring big new executives, especially CFO, on their own is enough confirmation, but releasing yearly financial updates seals the deal. You might say that the mock alliance, which Commerce Tools pioneered, is pretty much the only other industry narrative that has firmly taken hold in Europe and North America outside of Shopify's momentum, which otherwise has captured all oxygen in the room. What new information did we learn from Commerce Tools? Well, in 2023, they achieved 65% growth in ARR outside of Europe, 45% year-over-year growth in GMV, which is now over $30 billion, including 45% growth from B2B. There have been 200 releases in the last year, plus new integrations, which seems clear to me that they're trying to counter a Shopify additions narrative. And they've also said that they've released a new Connect app, which is meant to counter a Shopify App Store narrative. They've served 500 million users in 2023 and processed 10 million orders in the Black Friday Cyber Monday period. Last year, the company reported reaching 100 million in ARR, or annual recurring revenue. Let's assume by now that they've almost made it to 150 million ARR. In short, the signals are here to compare Shopify to Commerce Tools itself. So let's do it. How many customers are out there? I have seen Shopify estimates as high as 5 million, but as low as maybe 3 million stores. For Commerce Tools, we have to guess, but let's assume around 500 customers total with about 1,000 stores. It seems like a good round number, and Commerce Tools said they have added over 130 enterprise customers in the last year. Shopify in 2023 had $235 billion in GMV, which was growing 23%, which would put Shopify GMV about 8 times Commerce Tools' $30 billion GMV, with Commerce Tools' GMV growing about twice as fast, especially outside Europe. Shopify Black Friday Cyber Monday, $9.8 billion at an estimated $100 AOV, this is my estimate, means that Shopify processed about 98 million orders, which would be about 10 times what Commerce Tools processed during that time, which is not surprising due to Shopify's consumer focus. Shopify's $1.8 billion ARR is about 13 times Commerce Tools ARR. The first drop from this release? It seems to me that the Commerce Tools average store GMV is 638 times Shopify. Shopify's average GMV per store, given the number of stores and their GMV processed last year, adds up to about $47,000 last year, or a little higher. Commerce Tools' average GMV per store is about $30 million a year, or perhaps a little lower. Lower if there are more stores, higher if there are fewer stores. That's quite a different market focus. The second drop here, Commerce Tools' average ARR per store is about 83 times Shopify. Shopify average ARR per store is $360 per store. Commerce Tools' average ARR per store is about $30,000 per store. This means Shopify must work much harder to raise ARR on a per store basis, which is not to say revenue per store, because that's actually much larger due to not considered merchant services revenue by Shopify, which is the largest and growing the fastest. However, all investors, including Shopify management, recognize the importance of ARR and MRR in software as a service businesses, so it's an important metric. You might even say, combined with net retention revenue, these are the most important metrics in SaaS, period. Also, this says nothing about whether or not Shopify can manage big stores, but if you look at the company averages, it tells you so much about the dedicated focus of a company on one mission versus a Shopify approach of win everywhere. It really is a tale of two different companies. And with no degree of irony, now a word from our sponsor, Commerce Tools. When a multi-billion dollar beauty brand's e-commerce platform neared the end of its life, the entire business was at risk, including the ability to serve customers. By switching to Commerce Tools, embracing a more flexible mock architecture, the retailer's vision for connecting in-store and personalized shopping experiences became a reality. The brand can now roll out new features within days, securing its position as a modern brand that uses technology to its advantage. If you're being held hostage by your technology platform and your developers have thrown up their hands, tell them to start a free trial at commercetools.com today.
Commerce Tools is thrilled to announce its first ever live event, Elevate, the Global Commerce Summit in Miami Beach, Florida, April 16th to 18th, 2024. This is a one-of-a-kind global meeting place for business leaders and technical professionals across brands, verticals, and regions. By day, you'll engage with a power-packed agenda, including stories from brands like PetSmart, Peloton, Ticketmaster, Ulta Beauty, and Zorro that have adopted a modern approach to commerce, thought leaders debating the future of the industry, and hands-on developer training tracks for both individuals and teams. By night, attend an opening party on the white sands of Miami Beach and an exclusive Havana Nights celebration. Tickets are on sale now at elevate.commercetools.com.
It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, logistics player Iron Sheepdog raises $10 million in Series B funding. Iron Sheepdog, a short-haul logistics platform, has secured $10 million in Series B funding to invest in technology and expand into new markets. Nomination for the best name for a logistics startup? Victory hands down here. Second, digital promotion platform Ibotta files for IPO. Ibotta, a digital promotion and performance marketing platform for consumer packaged goods, has filed for an IPO and plans to list on the New York Stock Exchange under IBTA. How much capital will it raise and what will the first day stock price be? Third, Marco secures $12 million in Series A funding. Marco, a Latin American trade finance platform for SME exporters, has secured $12 million in Series A funding. The new funding will enhance Latin America's environmental, social, and governance. Fourth, FabFitFun acquires Pupbox from Petco. FabFitFun has acquired Pupbox, a pet subscription box business from Petco, allowing the women's shopping club to provide pet products to its members and new members. Who said the subscription box businesses were dead? And finally, EcomID closes 2.7 million euros in pre-seed funding. Ecom ID, a collaborative online return solution, has raised 2.7 million euros in pre-seed funding round, aiming to invest in its technology and attract new customers. Is this an AI solution for returns? And today's final word of the week for April 1st, 2025 is bridge, as in the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Seriously, this is one of the most devastating videos to watch in recent memory. I hope everyone has recovered and they were able to repair things quickly. Did you know that RMW Commerce has a brand new podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisetsky, an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find us on YouTube or your favorite podcast. That's the Watson Weekend. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Citizen Race Car. The show is produced by Jose Baez. Production manager, Gabriela Montague. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.